Hello, it's 5 p.m. on a Thursday, and you are tuned into All Access Pass. My name is D.P. Lil, and you are listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver on the unceded ancestral territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Today's show is all about accessible travel. We will share with you four respective interviews. The first one is from Julie Thiel from Minications Travel. Second one from Alex Yates at Vision Travel. Third one from YVR. And the last one, Robert Palmer from WestJet Airlines. But first, here's a song called Promise by Lauren Marsh.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Estefania Solis, and I'm here to tell you that on June 10th, CBC reported a story on a Canadian Paralympian named Lauren Barwick, whose electric and motorized wheelchair was badly damaged when it was left outside during a bad storm, and her American Airlines flight was delayed. Because of this incident, American Airlines has been responding to Ms. Barwick by apologizing to her, and they've provided her with a temporary wheelchair until her previous one is fixed at their expenses. Due to this unfortunate incident, it prompted the Access Collective to find answers to the thoughts that we had amongst ourselves. Such questions arose like, how would people with all abilities travel safely? or can some individuals travel with their wheelchairs? And if so, what are these procedures? So to answer some of these questions, DP and myself contacted Julie Thiel from Minications Travel. Now, Minications Travel is a small agency that offers a quality mini weekend vacation. They coordinate from slumber parties to local community activities for adults with developmental disabilities so their parents can get some time to rest and relax for a few days. Here's Julie's interview.
Can you introduce yourself?
Okay, well, thanks for having me. My name is Julie Thiel, and I'm the owner of Minications Travel.
Okay, and how did Minications Travel came about?
Well, I've always supported people with developmental disabilities, and I had worked for an organization called Samiyama House for about 10 years, and planned trips that became very, very popular, and some of the trips even ended up taking about 50 people, and they were absolutely awesome and totally like the best part of my job. And I actually left there a couple of years ago to another job, and it was the one thing that I completely totally missed. And so I was just sitting, you know, reflecting, and what do I want to do with life? And Communications came about. So So it's supported travel for adults with developmental disabilities, and Mimi being they're short in duration and small in group size. So I typically don't take any groups larger than 12.
Oh, wow! That's good to know.
Yeah, kudos to you for starting your own business. By the way, I know it could be a little hectic in the beginning, but that's awesome to hear that you have that vision to bring that experience to everybody with all different types of abilities. What do you find in Minications, like what kind of fulfillment are they trying to give their clients as far as travel options that other places wouldn't?
Well, a lot of the trips are actually driven by what the clients want. I get emails and phone calls and text messages constantly just saying, hey, can we go here? Can we go there? So that's where a lot of the trips actually stem from.
Oh, okay.
So it's very, very person-centered. And so, and then the other thing just about the groups being small is that I find everybody's wants and wishes happen because of the smaller size.
So what's your selection process for the destination you offer on your website?
Well, it's a lot of it, again, it comes from the clients and then just, you know, doing research and looking, trying to find fun options. It's all about fun.
I guess to take it a step further is when you see the, so the, say they want a specific place that, that they'd want to go. We were checking out your website and we noticed that you had like Disneyland and New York and all these like big trips, but then you had camping trips as well. So I guess the selection process is, do you find part of it is personal, but then from there, what is your process when you find, you know, any challenges that you encounter with accessibility when booking these destinations?
I typically don't find that there's many challenges. Mm-hmm. Actually, most of the places are fantastically accommodating.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah, and how do you find that? Like, do you call certain places and find out, hey, I want to know about accessibility? So you do all that kind of research?
Yeah, it's more like the hotels and the different places don't typically give discounts. You're a repeat customer. But it's more for admission rates.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And usually your clients can afford them, right? Like it's all affordable, right?
Well, for some people, yes, and other people, no. I do have a young man that put on Facebook that he'd like people to fund him going to Las Vegas, which is pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
So are there any demographics that you feel are unrepresented in Minications clientele?
Well, right now, like, I'm not able to provide one-to-one service.
Okay.
And I also don't have accessible transportation, so I wouldn't be able to take anyone that was in a wheelchair, which is, you know, really unfortunate.
So the people that you, that are your clients, they're not in a wheelchair, are you saying?
No, they're not in wheelchairs.
Okay.
Do you see that changing sometime in the near future, or maybe partnering up with another company that would support?
Yeah, absolutely. Those are definitely options to be considered.
So once a person, say, has booked with you, or, you know, they started the conversation with you about possibly going on a travel, do they have to go through any necessary procedures, like as far as documentation or anything, or how do they go about, I guess, the process of booking with you?
So that's a good question. Anytime I have a new client that I don't already know, because I've got a lot of travelers that I've known from past experience.
Mm-hmm.
So a new client, we typically, the destination of choice is always White Spot, so we always meet up and we just, you know, have a really informal chat and just see what their likes and dislikes are, and I explain, you know, how medications work and just that it's a very relaxed environment. And
That's okay.
So it's just, we just have a informal meeting.
Okay. When hiring a staff, what are some qualifications that is required so both staff and client are comfortable with one another?
Okay, yeah. So they need to be trained community support workers,
mm-hmm.
and or have the equivalency in experience.
Okay, so that's it?
Yeah, and just a high level of energy and just a full understanding of what community inclusion is.
Okay, that sounds good. Stephen?
With that, could you tell us any stories where Minication's travel has positively changed the life of one of the your clients? Or many, many stories?
I don't know that we've changed lives, but I know that we've definitely enriched them.
Okay.
In the sense that, you know, when people get home, that's, you know, their parents say that, you know, they can't stop talking about the good trip, good time that they had, and the places that they saw and the things that they experienced.
And so, do you
give specific examples of, you know, like some young men, we went down to Seattle and
mm-hmm.
they conquered their fear of heights by going up the Space Needle, and it was really, really cool. It was their peers supporting one another.
Oh, wow.
It was an awesome experience. And just like the patting on the back, you can do this, and the high fives when they got to the top, and then when we got to the bottom, and the big hugs and stuff like that.
So would you say that you work with them to overcome their fears?
It's not something I set out to do. It's just kind of a natural thing that happens on trips as things come up.
Okay. And what are your goals for the future of Minication's travel?
That's $1 million question. I would love to franchise. I would love to have a Minication's in each, you know, big city and in every province. That would be awesome.
Okay.
It's something that needs to be out there. And there's numerous other travel companies and organizations that support people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another option for people. You can never have enough.
Most definitely. And our final question is, do you have any upcoming activities that you are excited to share with us?
Lots, actually. next weekend we're going to Cultus, and so we've rented a cabin right on the lake. And we'll enjoy the water slides and swimming, and then we're going to head up to Hell's Gate and ride the tram on the Sunday. And then at the end of the month, we are boarding a pirate ship on the Saturday night, and we're going to sail around the harbor and watch the fireworks.
Wow.
Which will be really cool.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. Okay, is there anything that you want our listeners to know?
Well, thank you very much for having me. And, just, you know, if you know someone with a developmental disability that would like to get out and about and meet friends and have a good time, please share the word.
Thanks, Julie.
Thank you so much, Julie.
Where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. My name is DP Lil. Unfortunately, our teammate Spencer Williams could not be with us here today, but he was able to conduct an interview with Alex Yates, who works for Vision Travel and specializes in accessible travel. We hope you enjoy Alex's interview as she speaks from the heart.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Spencer?
I'm pretty good. Could you just start off by giving our listeners a bit of background on yourself?
Oh, sure. Okay. So my name's Alex Yates. I'm a travel advisor, and I specialize in travel for people with disabilities and people who have trouble walking and need access. And I'm also the mom of a 28-year-old young man who uses a wheelchair.
How did you get interested in accessible travel?
Well, it was very natural. I love to travel, and after my son was born, I had become a travel agent when he was in his early teens, and I was still wanting to travel, even though it was a bit difficult with him. But I would take him with me places, and after a while, I had friends and family, people who knew I was a travel agent, say, hey, could you do stuff for us, please? Because we know you know how to do it now. And it just kind of evolved from there. So I've been officially supporting people with disabilities to travel now for about 12 years.
What would you say are the most wheelchair accessible destinations?
Oh, wow. Okay, so honestly, the most wheelchair accessible destination in the world, in my opinion, is the United States. And the reason for that is because 25 years ago, they passed the Americans with Disabilities Act in the United States, which means that every single public space in the United States has to be made wheelchair accessible. And so I don't have any problem sending any people to the States ever, because I can, transportation is wheelchair accessible, hotels are wheelchair accessible, places people want to visit are accessible, and I even know quite a few wheelchair accessible beaches, public beaches now. So I can make sure that everybody has a good time if they go to the States.
That's very wonderful to hear, Alex. Can you give us some of the beaches that are accessible? That sounds quite interesting.
Yeah, they're Florida, in the Miami and Fort Lauderdale region, has really, really made it a high priority. And they have a whole bunch of beaches along the Collins Avenue, Fort Lauderdale to Miami region, all the way down the coast there. They have a whole series of places where they rent out those beach wheelchairs, the ones that you can roll right over the sand. And they literally have places where you can rent them out. And then they have entrances onto the beach where they have special matting onto the sand, so you can easily wheel across them, which I just think is brilliant. And, no one makes a fuss about them. They're just there because they're needed. And it's just not a rah-rah, look how wonderful we are. It's just the way they roll. So Florida is fantastic for wheelchairs. Also, the New Jersey Shore, of all places, is brilliant. They have a fantastic boardwalk there, and it's really, really accessible. And California, of course, and anywhere where there's, you know, like Disneyland, Disney World, San Diego, all those places are brilliant. And you know, and all public parks. So all the national parks are all wheelchair accessible. So, you know, the Grand Canyon is amazing. Las Vegas is brilliant. You know, so many places in the States. And, you know, all the standard places, you know, New York City and, you know, all the big cities are very, very accessible. So it's a really great destination for a lot of things.
Really great to hear. So, as I understand it, you specialize in cruises, right?
Well, I have for sure sent a lot of people in wheelchairs on cruises. And that's because, you know, most cruise lines have a very large population of people from the United States in it. So everyone's really expecting it to be wheelchair accessible, and most cruise ships are. So it makes for a bit of an easy way of people getting on holidays where they're not really feeling terribly stressed out by how complicated it can be when you're in a wheelchair.
Why do you think taking cruises is such an ideal method for accessible travel?
Well, the ships are all pretty much designed now with an expectation around accessibility. And you know, some of these big ships, I have a group that I'm creating for Alaska next year on a cruise ship that is going out of Vancouver, and it has 29 wheelchair accessible rooms on it, which is a pretty large percentage of the rooms. So they have them in all different categories. So, you know, from little inside rooms all the way up to suites, and they're all accessible. And they, you know, and when I say accessible, I don't mean, oh, yeah, it's accessible once you get over this step. It's like literally everything. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that. Oh, yeah, you just have to come up a couple of steps, and then the rest is wheelchair accessible. Anyway, none of that with cruises. You know, every single wheelchair accessible stateroom has a roll-in shower in it and grab bars everywhere, and a lot of them also have sinks that you can raise and lower depending on the height of your wheelchair, you know, and they really, really understand it. So it gives people an opportunity to go to a whole bunch of different places, but always go home at the end of their evening of adventuring to a place that's accessible and is going to suit their needs. And everywhere on the ship's accessible. So they're pretty much isn't anywhere on a ship that you can't go to in a wheelchair. So it makes it so easy for people. And send a lot of people on a lot of cruises.
That's fantastic.
One question that I'd like to ask, Alex, is why do you think advocating for accessibility is important?
Oh, wow. Okay, don't ask me a big question or anything. You know, it's so interesting. You know, I see in daily life for my son barriers to him accessing things all the time just because people don't think about it. You know, and I was actually just having a conversation with someone about how Halloween was never much fun for my son because he could never get up to people's front doors and knock on them and call out trick or treat because everybody has houses that are upstairs. And so anything that you can do to create more awareness that the world is not designed for people in wheelchairs and that we need to accommodate wheelchairs, anything you can do in any area of life, I think is super worthwhile because, you know, we have citizens who are not able to access the world the way the rest of us are.
You are right. The world is not necessarily made for people with accessibility issues, and hopefully we can move towards that and start changing that.
Absolutely. And sometimes it's as simple as an attitude, you know. I have a you know, a policy with my son where there pretty much isn't anything that I say to him he can't do, even if it's going to be complicated, because the actual action of him doing it, even though it's complicated, and having people see him struggle is an honorable and mighty struggle. And then people get, oh, wow, we need to do something about this to make it easier for people.
So with that in mind, just a follow-up question is,
sure,
how do you think that your agency creates those experiences or those opportunities for people to not only travel and enjoy other parts of the world, but do you believe that they find an opportunity or an experience for them to fight those fears and those stereotypes and insecurities that people have put up?
You know, it's really interesting. I'm actually right now looking after a family who are going to Sri Lanka with their daughter who has quite extensive disabilities, and they have a lot of fears about it, and there's a lot of paperwork that goes along with it. You know, it's not as easy as just getting on a plane. You know, their daughter needs to have some medical stuff happen because she eats using a gastrostomy tube, and so with planes that's not the easiest thing because she has to actually take tubes, she has to take cans of food with her, like liquids, and we know that planes aren't really great at letting people take big quantities of liquid on them. So we're actually having to get special doctor's notes and things. And her mom was so scared of trying to do this.
Mm.
So scared about, oh, they're going to stop us and it's going to be horrible. And so having me advocate for her, so I'm the one who's in communication with all the airlines to make sure that they all know what's coming and they all have all the paperwork's been filled out and the doctors have signed all the things they need to sign. Having her know that I'm in her corner and I'm backing it up to make it less complicated for her, you know, it's just peace of mind, right?
Yes, yeah, certainly. That's,
Yeah. And sometimes, you know, I've been very lucky. I've had some clients who've asked me to do some really adventurous stuff. And I had a young man a few years ago who's in a wheelchair, and he's also nonverbal. He uses an alternate method of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And he had always wanted to go to Machu Picchu.
Mm.
So we got him to the top of Machu Picchu.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was about 8 months worth of really hard work trying to get it all coordinated. But because I've been doing this so long now, I have a lot of really, really good suppliers around the world, mm-hmm. who could do extraordinary things. I mean, I could do things like I can get people around Pompeii in wheelchairs.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And down into the catacombs in Rome. So, you know, things that you wouldn't even imagine were wheelchair accessible, we can make it work. So, but it's because I have really good partnerships now with people who make it, who can help and who understand what the issues are.
Following up with that, how easy do you think it is to adapt cities, old cities like Venice, for people with disabilities?
Well, it's interesting because I was just in Venice a couple of weeks ago. And the first time I went to Venice with my husband, which was probably about 12 years ago, we looked at each other and went, we're never bringing Kieran here. There's just no way. This isn't happening. And I was really, really impressed by going back there this time to discover that they have now all the big bridges in Venice that go over all the canals, which are all steps up, and then you're on the bridge, and then steps down the other side. Not all of them, but to make it possible, have now all built permanent ramps on them.
That's cool.
So, you know, like, even places as old as Venice are busy saying, we can do it. Oh, and in Rome, the Colosseum has an elevator in it now.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely.
I think to myself, you know, if the Colosseum, which is, 2,000 years old, if they can put an elevator in their building, what's everyone else's excuse?
Fair enough.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So yes. You can get right to the top of the Colosseum in Rome and go out and look right over the amphitheater below in a wheelchair. It's brilliant. So I think a lot of countries that wouldn't normally be accessible are really starting to understand that if they want the tourism, they better get with the program. I was in Split in Croatia a few weeks ago as well, and these two guys came out of this this bicycle rental store in their manual wheelchairs and hooked onto the front of their manual wheelchairs these things that turn their manual wheelchairs into little power chairs.
That's crazy.
They drove off down the road on them.
So adventurous.
I'm like, that's so brilliant. So when I travel, everybody else is looking at all the, you know, like all the famous places.
Yes.
I look at where's the nearest wheelchair accessible toilet. It's just a different perspective, you know.
Yeah, but it's good that, you know, that you have that perspective and that you're watching out. You're taking care.
Yeah, and I have amazing partners around the world who help me out as well. So, you know, it really does help. And, lots of people do it on their own, and there is nothing wrong with doing it on their own. But all I can say for people who want to plan their own travel is go for it, but double-check everything.
Well, that's great advice.
When I book a hotel room for a client, I phone up the hotel and I talk to the front desk and I say to someone at the front desk, I need you to take your iPhone and go up to the hotel room that you say is wheelchair accessible and take photographs of the wheelchair, the roll-in shower for me and send them to me.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, because...
You have to, though, right?
Well, the interpretation of what's wheelchair accessible is different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to know, you know, if I'm dealing with someone who's paralyzed on one side of their body, I need to know that they'll be able to reach the shower head with the other side of their body. I think that there's positive movement in the field of making travel accessible for people, and there are still lots of barriers. But every time someone is brave enough to say, I'm doing it anyway, and just goes and does it, another barrier gets broken down.
That's very true, and it's very inspiring to hear how you, the spirit that you have to, you know, to take this on and to definitely be a support for people who want to overcome these fears, not only the people with accessibility issues, but also the families, as you were mentioning, with the mom and her daughter. Which, out of your experiences, which airlines have you found that are most accommodating with dealing with accessibility issues?
Funny, because Spencer knows, don't you, Spencer?
Yeah. I'm all too familiar with that. But.
Yeah. Spencer was one of my, you know, my trial. Spencer was one of my first ever travelers I sent on Virgin Atlantic.
Oh.
And Virgin Atlantic really get it, don't they, Spencer?
Yeah.
Oh, what was that experience like?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it was just one of those very first human traveling experiences. I don't know. Why don't you tell the rest of the story?
Okay, sure. So one of the things that in Atlantic does is it provides this special kind of seating insert that supports people who have a lot of upper body control. So you actually have to contact them in advance and let them know you need the seating insert, and it's provided on the plane for free. They fly it over from England for you, and then it's in the seat, and it allows for anybody who requires support in that, you know, upper part of their body to consistently adjust themselves so they're comfortable. and so then it gets stable. It's brilliant. And they also have wheelchair-accessible bathrooms. They've worked out how to make a bathroom on an airplane wheelchair-accessible.
Wow, there you go. And just to put that out there to our listeners, what was the name of the airline? In case
it's Virgin Atlantic. Unfortunately, they don't fly out of Vancouver anymore, but they do fly out of Seattle.
There you go, for everybody out there. Virgin Atlantic.
Yeah, they're good.
Well, thank you so much for the time you've given us today, Alex. One last question.
Do you have any tips for people with disabilities trying to book a trip for the first time?
Use a travel agent. No, seriously, because a travel agent will think of all the things that they don't think of. And my other big tip is make sure you have insurance.
Good to know.
good to know.
Yeah. Thank you so much again, Alex, for taking the time to talk to us and give us more insight as far
You're
as...
You're very welcome. You're very welcome.
Yeah, it's been very inspiring to hear you, and I want to go out and tell people now. And I you just have so much exuberance that it's infectious, you know.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you very much for asking me to come on. I very much appreciate the opportunity of talking about something that I'm passionate about.
Yeah, no worries, Alex. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. We'll speak to you later. Bye bye.
Bye.
And knowing your enemy.
I'll pit my power against your brains any day. What was that?
That, my thieving fiend, is the result of brains.
Use your brain. Turn off all the lights when you leave a room. If every household in BC turned off one light bulb for 4 hours a day for 1 year, it would save enough electricity to power all the homes in Mission for an entire year. This Power Smart play brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM.
Tell me your dreams and I'll tell you mine. Set your mind free. What do you want? What do you need? If life were a scene, what do you want to see?
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. The song you just heard was titled Carnegie Hall by Color the Wild. I'm Estefania Solis, and I'm here to talk to you about travel and accessibility. In this portion of our show, we were actually able to get in touch with Darren Hales, who is a senior communications specialist at YVR Airport. After talking to him, he was able to connect us with an interview with one of his representatives. This interview talks about how YVR is taking steps to become a more accessible airport, from the options they provide people with disabilities to the type of training they give their employees in order for them to make the traveling process a lot smoother. Here's the interview with one of the representatives.
The first question that I have for you is, could you please tell us who you are and what your position is?
Absolutely. My name is Kathy Neifers. I'm the Manager of Customer Care and Guest Relations at the Vancouver Airport Authority. Key focus for my role is customer care and accessibility.
With that, our second question is, what recent changes has YVR made to make it more accessible for people with disabilities?
Great question. One thing I want to start with is that we are very committed at YVR to providing a positive airport experience for absolutely everyone. Accessibility is also factored into every decision we make at YVR, and it's core to our design principles for all of our expansion and also new building projects at the airport. We've had a number of recent changes that we've implemented, but I'll just share a few of them with you today. So a couple around new building design features is that we added adult dementia change benches at several of our washrooms throughout the airport, and as well to improve our communication and exclusive options for customers, we added welcome sign language videos on our international rivals LED big board.
Oh, wonderful.
Another one that we're quite excited to share about is that we also had our first ever post security service animal relief area open up just recently in our USA departures area. Our first post security service animal relief area recently opened in our USA departure area for our customers. We've also been working with several of our community and airport partners to provide some resource kits and familiarization tools to help individuals and families prepare for air travel and ease associated worries. One of our first accessibility tours that we designed was with our partners, Manicourt Injury BC, WestJet, and the Canadian Air Transport Security Authority. The second of our tours was for individuals and families living with autism, and we partnered with the Canucks Autism Network and Air Transat. Both of these tours, in essence, offer a live tour component, and it allows customers to go through the various airport processes from check-in to security screening, through wayfinding through the airport, and of course at the boarding gate as well. Along with the actual accessibility tour component, we also created some travel resource kits and videos, which can also be found available on YVR.ca.
Great. And as far as those resources, I know that you mentioned that you provide resources for people with disability issues, but I've also heard that you have some policies and types of training for your employees that they go through in order to better serve people with disabilities. Is that correct?
Absolutely. All of our Airport Authority employees are required to complete disability awareness training. We also work closely with Canadian Barrier-Free Design and now with Hanson Foundation. They actually both design and deliver our accessibility training program. And it's great because they offer two components to our training. One is more or less a classroom and lecture-style training, but it talks about the importance of communication, different techniques on how to assist customers, and also it provides a simulation component as well.
Can you further describe how the trainings are? You said that there's a description component?
It's actually a simulation component. There's two parts to our accessibility training. And one, again, is the classroom training, which talks about, again, different communication techniques, make sure that it prepped all of our staff to be ready to assist customers with all abilities. And the other part is the simulation training, and it's quite unique, and it allows us really to put ourselves in the shoes of our customers. It's just a moment in time to be able to use a wheelchair and travel through the airport, and as well, there's a simulated vision impairment experience as well. And again, it just really helps us to understand,
I'm sure it's a factor that heightens your empathy for people with accessibility issues. Is there any upcoming events that YVR would like our listeners to know about?
Absolutely. We are in the early stages right now of planning another familiarization tour. We've partnered with CNIB to really work on a tour component and some travel tips also for customers with vision impairment. As well, for anyone looking for some fun, we have a very fun event that throughout all the Fridays in the summer until the end of August. It's called Takeoff Fridays. It's from 9 to 3 every Friday. It's really just like a great free family fun, live music, great for all ages. And plus, if anyone wants to come out, it gives an opportunity to check out some of the airport accessibility features.
Nice. And can you just repeat that one more time when it's going to be?
Absolutely. So every Friday throughout the summer months,
okay,
we have a program that's called Takeoff Fridays, and it's from 9 to 3 until the end of August. And so lots of live music and free family entertainment, various sort of different activities that people can do. And again, great for all ages. And plus, again, it gives an opportunity to be able to come out and check out some of the accessibility features at the airport as well.
My last question is, at the end of the day, what are YVR's goals in terms of making it more inclusive and accessible for all human beings?
Accessibility is an absolute top priority for us at the airport. We are focused on creating an exclusive and welcoming airport experience for everyone. We're really focused on becoming a world leader and providing a remarkable experience and making it meaningful for our customers. But one of the important things also is that we always take that opportunity to hear feedback from our customers. So I do encourage anyone, if they are traveling through the airport or have recently taken a trip, please share your feedback with us. It's really important to us. It helps us make sure that we're getting things right or look at new opportunities for the future.
Where might they be able to share this feedback with you?
The best place would be through YVR.ca, and then there's a contact us tab that anyone can share feedback with us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for taking the time today. That's the end of our questions.
It's been a real pleasure to be part of your show. We really appreciate you reaching out to us. Bye.
Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
I faced it. I have Alzheimer's disease.
My diagnosis has let me get on with my life my way.
The more we learned about my grandfather's dementia, the more we could face the future and make plans.
My husband, Tom, and I spoke to our doctor right away.
I have Alzheimer's, but it doesn't have me.
I faced it.
So can you.
For more information about early diagnosis, visit alzheimer.ca.
Welcome back to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. Once again, my name is DP Lail.
And my name is Estefania Solis, and today we're talking about accessibility and travel. So with that in mind, I have to ask you, DP, how have your experiences been when you're traveling?
To be quite honest, I haven't traveled recently. It's been quite a long time. But from what I remember, I was with an unnamed airline. It was a good experience. From what I remember,
you use an electric wheelchair,
yeah,
to get around, and I'm just curious to know what that experience was like while you were boarding the airplane.
So, of course, like everyone else, I had to arrive at YVR earlier in the morning,
mm-hmm,
to catch the flight to Disneyland. And
so much fun.
Yeah. And so I was basically taken out of my chair from my electric motorized wheelchair, and then aborted on plane while the chair was taken into the luggage area to transport to another airplane.
So once you were on the airplane, how were the accommodations inside?
I have to be quite honest, I thought the flight attendants did an amazing job. They were very accommodating and supportive for my needs, because I do have a disability, and sitting in an airplane, it could be quite a toll on my body.
Yes.
But they were very supportive and helpful and made the trip a lot easier. Which brings me to our email response we got from Robert Palmer, who works for WestJet Airlines.
I hope you enjoyed this email response as much as we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The first question that I asked him, could you please tell us who you are and what your position is and what airline do you work for?
I'm Robert Palmer, manager of public relations, and I work for WestJet.
Question two, does a person with a disability need to show a documentation of their disability?
In general, no, but we encourage guests to contact us in advance so that we may speak with them to understand how we can best serve their needs. We take pride in delivering a remarkable guest experience each and every day. And to ensure that we are able to create the best possible travel experience, as a starting point, we encourage our guests with disabilities to review the travel information on our website.
Question three, what is your policy on personal support workers accompanying individuals on flights?
WestJet considers a personal attendant to be an able-bodied person, 18 years of age or over, who is capable of fully attending to all the physical needs of the guest with a disability during the flight, and it is not responsible for the needs of any other guests on that flight. It is the responsibility of the guest to provide appropriately qualified individual for the level of care that they need. If this attendant does not meet the criteria, the guest and the attendant will be denied transport until the guest is able to travel with an attendant who meets this criteria. The personal attendant must remain with and be seated next to the guest. It is not necessary for this person to be medically trained. Guests traveling with an attendant will be offered pre-boarding if desired by the guest, and accommodations for a service animal will be made as required by the guest. The guest may request one person to be their personal attendant from the originating city and a different one returning from the destination. As far as priority medical seating, WestJet also blocks seating near the front of the aircraft for guests who self-identify that they have special needs. There's also gate passes that are available at certain airports, and it allows someone to accompany a guest to the gate or meet a guest at the gate upon arrival. They also touch upon pre-boarding assistance to and from the aircraft with a wheelchair and a carry-on. And finally, they have also an Eagle transfer device, which is used to transfer guests with limited or reduced mobility. Then they also have lavatory assistance, wheelchair seating. They also have wheelchair seating, which is the option of the pull-up armrest, so you can present better accessibility for people in wheelchairs. They also have special safety briefings, and finally, a medical equipment and devices accessible to people that may need them. So again, you're more than welcome to check out their website. Just go to westjet.com and look for special needs and personal attendant.
And number four, what future goals does WestJet have in regards to making the flying experience enjoyable for people with disabilities?
Is to ensure that our guests are able to fly safely, conveniently, and stress-free. So we encourage anyone with special needs to review our information on our website and contact us with the questions prior to booking their travel. This is very important because it will allow us to ask questions and obtain all the information that we require to ensure that we meet the needs of our guests.
And last but not least, is there any upcoming events WestJet would like our listeners to know about?
In general terms, we are very pleased to celebrate our 20th anniversary as an airline in 2016. We launched WestJet on February 29, 1996 with 220 employees and just three aircraft serving five destinations, all of them in Western Canada. Today, we have grown to nearly 2,000 employees, more than 140 aircraft, and now serve over 100 destinations in over 20 countries, including North America, the Caribbean, Central America, and Europe.
And there you have it. That was Robert Palmer's email response. And we'd really like to thank Robert for taking the time to answer our questions, so we thank him for that. Let's take a musical break, shall we? The following song is called Dance to Anything by Gregory Pepper and His Problems. The song you just heard was called Dance to Anything by Gregory Pepper and His Problems off their Ghost album. I hope you enjoyed it as much as we did. Thank you for tuning in this evening. We hope you enjoyed our travel show. Special thank you to Nicholas at YVR, who was super kind and helped us reach out to the appropriate representatives at YVR. We hope you will be back for another episode of All Access Pass next month. Here is a song called Living Proof by Gina Perella. Until then, thank you and goodbye for now.
Bye.